Hello, and welcome to the Dell Technologies Need to Know podcast series, your source for cyber resilience, brought to you in association with VMware and AMD. In this series, we invite leading cybersecurity specialists and experts to probe the key issues and share best practices for combating current and emerging cyber threats. I'm your host, Liz Green, European Advisory and Cyber Leader at Dell Technologies. In today's episode, we'll be discussing cloud cyber resilience. Today, we can visit our doctors virtually, grocery shop from our living rooms, and work from anywhere in the world. Underpinning our new way of life are digital services that run in the cloud. What is the cloud? How do we keep it secure? And how do we build resilience in this new cloud-based world? Today's podcast will explore all of this and more. I am thrilled to be joined today by Amazon Web Services storage and cyber specialist Tom Tasker and Danny Johnston. Danny and Tom, welcome.
Thank you, Liz. Great to be here.
Thanks, Liz.
Great to have you both. And thinking we'll kick it off with you, Tom. Do you mind setting the scene for us and define what we mean by the term cloud?
Oh, nice, easy one. Thanks, Liz. I would say that there's plenty of stuff out there that talks about the cloud and all the benefits and services and what have you. But you know me, we've worked together for a while now. I'm always drawn to the technology aspect of things and especially the storage side of things. And I would say the conversations I have with customers are around getting to the start line quicker. And that's essentially, you know, the conversation we always drop into. And kind of, you know, anecdotally and maybe just to over-egg it a little bit, but you know, 20 years ago before the cloud was around, if you wanted to go for a global footprint, you were doing kind of crazy stuff like going out and scoping a location. And if you wanted to have a data center on site, you maybe wanted to start from scratch. So, you know, stuff like planning permission, building regs, utilities, shipping in the hardware, just the sheer number of hours and time that would take to get up and running. Now, okay, granted, you may not want to build a data center, so you may go and rent something. So then you've got the complexities of rental agreements. I mean, if anyone is listening or has done this before, you know, where are we shipping it to? Who's it going to? What paperwork do we need? Or if you couldn't do any of those, your customers just ended up with a bad experience because you just couldn't either get the technology to where it needed to be, or you weren't going to go and build something bespoke for, you know, your infrastructure. So if you now fast forward to where the cloud is and what we're doing, everything is now available from the comfort of your web browser. And that's not a trite statement because it truly is. Or if you are a developer, it's available from, you know, a software development kit, and you can be global quite literally in seconds. And with that kind of global reach as well, just comes the sheer size and scale of what the cloud has to offer. Again, maybe over-egging it just a touch, but you have access to exabytes of storage and tens, if not hundreds of thousands of compute cores, again, from the comfort of your web browser and your office chair. And what this means is that if you ask me what the cloud is, I would say it's that opportunity to get to the start line quicker and start to innovate a lot faster in a more agile fashion anywhere on the planet with quite literally two hurdles, which are an email address and a credit card. And that's got to be a lot easier than seeking out, you know, planning permission and building regs, you know, from the kind of crazy earlier example. But what I would also say with it is that, you know, failure is also not a dirty word in this instance as well. So if you think around how innovation comes about, it, you know, it's ideation, it's the planning, it's the implementation, it's the execution of all of those things. And if you look at that and it's in a complex fashion, often those ideas never get past the ideation stage because it just takes too much effort, too much time, too much planning to go through with it. Whereas the cloud offers such a, you know, a vast array of services that you can just think, well, I wonder if 100,000 calls against this data set is a good idea. Now, I'm not saying it's instant or it's cheap. We're not quite that naive, but certainly you can go in and try that out. And if you get a good result, brilliant. It will scale. It will be as a pay-as-you-go model. It will hopefully do that all automatically under the hood in a pay-as-you-go fashion. But if it fails, equally, you can just go right-click, stop. This wasn't a good idea. Let's take the lessons learned and moved on. So apologies for the long-winded answer, but you know, I think there's a lot to go with when you're trying to define the cloud, as it were.
Thanks, Tom. And I think it's really helpful to step back and get that wider lens of where we've come from, the complexity that building a data center was 10, 15 years ago, and the ease and the scalability and the opportunity that cloud really presents. So really excited, again, to have you guys here. And sticking with you, Tom, talking about cloud, why is it important that organizations not just, you know, move to the cloud, but also consider the resilience of their cloud environments?
Yeah, of course. So, you know, waxing lyrical about innovation, flexibility, global reach, simplification, fantastic. That is exactly what the cloud does, and not just AWS. You know, all cloud service providers do that. We speak with some authority because we are from AWS. But whether you are a shed startup taking advantages of the same services that multi-billion-dollar, 100-year-old industries are taking advantage of, there is still this shared responsibility model. Now, again, just from an AWS perspective, I can talk to it with some authority. Other cloud service providers either have similar wording or exactly the same methodology. But the shared responsibility model talks about the cloud provider offering security of the cloud. So protecting the infrastructure, making sure that everything on that global footprint is as secure as it absolutely can be. But security in the cloud, and the two key words here, are the customer's responsibility. So you can have kind of that, almost in inverted commas, traditional security, firewalls, encryption, certificates, all of those kind of things as well. But what I've always said from a storage perspective is there's no point having 100 firewalls if your data isn't there to access and to do something meaningful and useful with it. So yes, of course, completely biased because I'm the storage guy. But when customers are using AWS or any cloud service provider, we still need to think about high availability, backup and restore, disaster recovery, business continuity. You know, these are still things that are absolutely relevant that, while I may have jumped all over the, you know, global footprint building a data center, we still need to take those lessons and apply those into the cloud environment. Yes, with different kind of architectures and solutioning, but with exactly the same relevance. And just kind of on the theme of that podcast as well, also, you know, around data vaults, cyber threat recovery, which is, you know, more frequently a conversation that Danny and I are having around having this secure, you know, copy of the data, golden copy of the data that should the worst happen. And, you know, we try not to say ransomware because there are more things out there than just ransomware. If something happens to the data in any capacity where it becomes unusable and unrestorable from the operational environment, what's our backstop? Where do we go and get the copy of the data as part of our operational resiliency kind of planning, thinking and development, etc.? And I can say kind of hand on heart, you know, Danny and I are kind of never been busier in talking to customers around data vaults and cyber threats. Danny, your view on this?
Tom, you're absolutely spot on. Couldn't agree more with everything you've said there. And just to echo that, I mean, guys, I don't think it's an exaggeration to say that, you know, the threat levels facing organizations today have really never been higher. And there's a ton of material we can point to underline that. But one recent report I read was titled "The State of Ransomware Attacks Across the Financial Services Industry in 2021 by an outfit called Sophos. And they claim that 34% of organizations within the sector faced some form of ransomware attack last year. Over half of those attacks were successful. But what really gets me is even where an organization paid its ransom, they were only able to retrieve about 64% of their data. So not only do regulators and security organizations advise on not paying the ransom, even if you do pay the ransom, it's not going to get you anywhere. Each recovery incident costs around $2.1 million. But of course, we all know that doesn't include the reputational damage that these attacks inflict. And once you start building in that reputational damage, then the cost is simply horrendous. But Tom, as you say, you know, ransomware, external threats, they tend to grab the headlines. Let's not forget about internal threats to critical data. You know, think of disgruntled employees, other internal malicious actors, even well-intentioned employees having access to sensitive data, you know, through human error can significantly destabilize an organization. So, Tom, I agree totally with you. I think it's more important than ever that we educate customers to have and retain a golden copy of their data in an immutable data vault in an independent air gap recovery environment so they can recover their business in the event of a catastrophic incident. And I really don't think it should be done in isolation. I think customers should be looking to partner with other organizations, a multitude of other organizations, to get this done.
Thanks, Danny. And kind of staying with you on that point, can you explain a bit more about why and really how AWS is partnering with companies to reduce risk in the cloud?
Love to, Liz. Yeah, so I would say AWS kind of categorizes partners in three main areas. And because Tom and I specialize within global financial services and the FSI sector, we'd kind of throw in a fourth there, a fourth kind of partner pillar, if you like. So if I go through those one by one, the first would be ISVs, independent software vendors. And I would class Dell very much central and square to that partner pillar. And it's operational simplicity our customers are often looking for. They want to take advantage of that, the great partnerships and relationships they have with their incumbent providers. And if we can work with incumbent providers and use existing tools and the operational workflows to help them scale into the cloud, then that's a big win and incredibly attractive for a lot of customers. Let's take an example such as Data Domain. You know, a lot of financial services organizations really appreciate that resilient platform, that efficient platform, and the ability to be able to scale left to right into AWS is super appealing to them. And I was thrilled to see as well your Elastic content storage, your ECS platform, now being able to do that as well. So that's the kind of first cohort of partners. The second would be consulting partners. So the likes of PwC and Deloitte, they can really help organizations in a programmatic way deploy cloud-based solutions, as well as, you know, touching on data vault. Not all data is created equal. Not all data needs to be vaulted. And they can help identify which is mission-critical data and which data perhaps doesn't need to be vaulted. The third area is around technology partners such as Computer Center or WWT, both of which we work extensively with. And they can help design, deploy, and implement cloud-based solutions. And that fourth one, especially for financial services, is really based around the regulators. And we work very closely with the Bank of England, with CMORG, the Cross-Market Operation Resilience Group, further afield out in Hong Kong with HCAB and HKMA, and recent discussions as well in the States with Sheltered Harbor. And I think it's really important to work with regulatory bodies in terms of what reference architecture looks like in terms of a CHDB, a cloud-hosted data vault. You know, what are the design principles? What are the design tenets, the key tenets around that, what it means to deploy and deliver a CHDV? And that's important because that will ensure that solutions like that are universally adopted across the sector by all enterprises. And I think that really helps to bolster the entire resilience across the whole financial services system. Finally, I think it's super powerful when partners all work together. So let's look at an example, Dell, Deloitte, working with Computer Center, all wrapped up in an AWS platform. That's super impactful for our customers. And Liz, you know, we've been working for a long time now. Super excited and grateful for the partnership with Dell. And I'm super excited about driving even more value into our mutual customer base moving forward.
Wonderful. Thank you, Danny. And really, really exciting to see an organization like AWS and you and Tom working together to really reach out to the wider ecosystem of partners and work together and collaborate to really build outcomes for the UK and for the world. So looking at Cross-Market Operation Resilience Group, I think it's a really beautiful idea that you are working to help reduce risk and protect consumers in financial services. And I think what is even cooler about CMORG that you didn't say, but I will say for you, is you're also working with competitors as well. And I think it's really amazing to see that kind of collaboration with the goal of every kind of organization, big or small, large budgets or no budgets at all, being able to have a cyber resilient capability. So thank you both so much for joining Danny and Tom. I think it's been really informative. There's just a few things I've taken notes on that I was going to share and close with. And again, it's been really, really valuable. So I think the first is, cloud is still a place that your data lives. It's a new place. It's not as complex, Tom, but it's still a place that data lives. Cloud computing is not immune to cyber risk. So it is important that organizations understand their shared responsibility, particularly when it comes to the public cloud. The second is, because we are so dependent on cloud-based services, organizations, and particularly leaders within those organizations, should recognize that it is imperative to incorporate cloud resilience as part of their wider business continuity planning. And I think the third, the most exciting in my eyes, is partnership. But partnership with other vendors, technologies, and even competitors makes your offering even more valuable to clients. And I see it in the work that we do with both of you every day. Tom, Danny, thank you very much for your time, your insights. It's great to have you both here. As we close and look on to the next few episodes, we invite experts to join and share their unique and varied insights on what your organization needs to know to build greater levels of cyber resilience. Thank you for listening and hope you join us next time. This series has been brought to you in association with VMware and AMD.